Thank you for those words. In Christ, amen. So tonight's teaching is going to be, what is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of each one of our lives? What is the purpose?
Mercy. What comes before your God?
What exactly is the purpose of our life? It's going to be based off lessons in Matthew 6. It should be for all of us to be reconciling over and over and over again. What did you say?
Seek justice, love, and mercy, and walk humbly before God.
So, and when we're looking for the purpose of our life, it is written. And you're going to say, we live in a world, a currently fallen world. We have the inheritance of Adam and Eve inside of us. We have confusion. We've got all things pulling at us. And he is giving us a compass. The Rotherham is true north. Other translations, I'm not going to tell you what he translates all the time because you don't want to hear it. That's not what you want. You don't want a compass that goes, they really don't want to know that's not east. They kind of like to think that's east because that's the traditions of their family. They always pointed that east. Going to go, I want a compass to tell me what's east, what's not east, what's north, because this life is this long. This life is so short. 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years to Yahweh. It's just a glimpse. It's going to be gone. And what did you do with it? And Christ gave the parable. He gave the parable and he gave according to their ability. He gave one 5 talents, one 3, and one. Then he came back. What'd you do with it? That's going to be the same thing in our lives. When's Christ coming back?
Nobody knows.
There's a lot of work to be done. But if we can reconcile, what's the purpose of my life? Why do I exist? It will ground you. And we're going to be studying in Matthew chapter 6. So here's some words for you guys. It's going to be Greek. Now, Greek is not the primary language of Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. But here's in Greek, it's going to be Zeteo Proton Basilia. And I like the Basilia because St. Peter's Bastilia. It's not the same, necessarily the same word, but it does sound like it. Zeteo Proton Basilia, maybe Yahweh. And so these are the words. And I want to start with the Greek words because we've heard these English words a lot. And since we've heard them a lot, we don't even really, we might not even know what the meanings mean. It's like John 3:16.
What verse?
Matthew chapter 6. I didn't tell you the verse.
Oh.
So, it will be verse 33, though. And so what really inspired this, a lot of this teaching was some other things that were stirring up. It was my dad and I were talking last night, and he's talking about, look at Joshua, Yehoshua. He had to do some tough stuff. Everything had breath, wipe out all these wicked ones, all this, and here Yehoshua, till the very end, loyal to Yahweh. And when you're that loyal to Yahweh, usually you don't have a whole lot of other friends. Because you're not compromising for them. And then we look at then, what about King David? And here's David, and then you look at the greatest ones. Here's Apostle Paul. Probably didn't have a whole lot of friends. But the friends he did have, I bet you there's some quality friends. You know, I just think about that. Golly, how neat is that? And when you try to compare myself to those people, I'm not like them. I can't be like that. At least that's the first feeling, the thought. I'm not like Josh. I'm not like David. But I sure do admire him. And then as Dad and I were conversing, Dad went back to reading some of the Psalms of David. How did David do what he did? He focused on his purpose. What was his purpose? To be in the garden with Yahweh. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Where you go, I'll go. Where are we going today? I just want to be with you. No matter where. And here's King David married to the king's daughter. Right? Did he think that was a wonderful thing to get married to Saul's daughter? He even said to one person, who am I to marry this, the king's daughter? Who am I? And then Saul says, Saul's trying to get him killed, but he goes, I want 100 foreskins. You can marry my daughter. He kills 200 Philistines. Gets 200 foreskins, gets the family. You think he's famous?
Mm-hmm.
David's killed his thousands. Excuse me. Saul's killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. Did David have a nice heart? Yeah. Does it feel good to have people patting you on the back? Absolutely. He's living in the palace or whatever the palace they had at that time. They didn't have the one that was built later on. And then in order to save his life, in order to stay his course, to fulfill his purpose, what did he have to do?
Run away.
He had to crawl out a window because his father-in-law was going to murder him. That's not the way we would ride our own lives. What does he do? Did his wife go with him? How bad did he want to be married? 200 Philistines died for Michael. Michael, come with me. I don't know exactly what happened. That he runs into a cave. And later on, kind of fast forward, here he is in a cave. Where's the kingdom? He didn't have anything. And as he's sitting in there, David did some things that we can always do. David got grounded back to what is his purpose. I lost all those people. Lost all these people over here, this and that, and Yahweh gave him real friends. His purpose was Yahweh. And here he is in the cave of the doom. Yahweh. Man. Am I okay? I still have that peace. You guys have that sometimes? Sometimes we break that peace, we break the fellowship, and I'll do anything to get that peace back. I was witnessing to a guy who had done a lot of stupid things at the gym. Not the gym in his life. And I go, look, fidelity is very important to Yahweh. You broke fidelity here, here, and here. You're not going to get that peace back for a month. You understand that? Probably. But even when I messed up, I wanted that peace back. But here's David. You can imagine here he is. All of a sudden, he starts singing his songs, pouring out his heart to Yahweh. And all of a sudden, the peace that rises above every mind. Here it is. Sing a song to Yahweh. And, hey, I got you. I lost all those people. And then, but what else? What did Yahweh do? Yahweh gave him real friends. Real friends. You look at these guys. The broken, the bankrupt. They come to the cave. Who are you?
I'm David. Yeah, right, you're David. Hi, I'm David.
And here they are. They're broke. What kind of friends are these? What friends did he lose? The pretty ones. Probably the banquets. Singing songs, tambourines. But who was going to lay their life down for him? Who was going to go into battle to fulfill his calling? Was it King Saul? Was it Abner, Saul's general? No. It was these new people that Yahweh replaced him with. As David was fulfilling his calling, his purpose, is to serve Yahweh. For each one of us, each day, to go back to the garden meeting. Where you go, I'll go. What do you want me to do today? And Yahweh gave him those men. And then look at the writing. And how did David do it? Because he remembered his purpose. So even as I was talking to Dad about that, all of a sudden, I was losing touch. I'm not like Joshua. I'm not like Moses. I'm not like these guys. Well, it's nice to dream about people like Peyton Manning and superstars. But then my dad was able to bring me right back around. It's your purpose. If you can do all these things, if you're focusing on Yahweh. Matthew 6:33. Would somebody please read that, please?
But be seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness.
And that's it. The Greek word, so these are real important things. Seek, Strong's number 2212. That's that word, zeteo. Now here's the explanation of this word. To seek in order to find. By thinking, meditating, reasoning, inquiring, to seek after, to crave, to demand something from someone. What word is the first thing we're supposed to do first? Seek ye first the kingdom. So the first word in this is seek. To crave, demand, to meditate. What? What are we supposed to crave, to demand, to meditate on? What? He's going to say seek. He's going to say zeteo. Okay, I zeteo what? First. The Greek word for first is Strong's number 4412. It's kind of neat. It's like proton. It's proton. I don't know if that's where we get the word proton, but it's pretty close. So what are we supposed to seek? Okay, this is going to say first, and this word, proton, is first in time or place. Chief, principal, first in rank. Okay, so what are we supposed to be seeking first in this life? We're supposed to be seeking first to meditate, to demand, to inquire every day, and there's going to be the kingdom. The kingdom, and this is new to me. Dad pointed this out. The kingdom in today's terminology is land. It's a place. And that's not what the word means. The word kingdom is Strong's number 932, and it's Basilia. I might be not be pronouncing it right, but it sounds like St. Peter's Bastilia. This Greek word is not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. It's dominion. It's the reign. What are you supposed to seek first in your life every single day? To give Yahweh dominion over your life. It's not a kingdom floating away on another planet somewhere that exists where everybody is right now. Is that tangible? No. What exactly does that mean? To most people, actually, a lot of people I've witnessed to that, when I tell them it's not a place, I tell them what the word is, it almost gets them dizzy because they've been meditating on this place. When you obey Yahweh, He has dominion in your life. And that's His rule. That is His Bastilla. And where is His kingdom? You get to choose. Does He have any dominion over your life? Each day. And that's what we're supposed to seek, number one. And so Jesus Christ, we'll kind of do a loop, but at the beginning of this, seek ye first the reign of Yahweh. Okay, how do we... And then what's the last part of that? Then all of these things will be added unto you. Just like Solomon. Did Yahweh know Solomon's heart? I think there's a lot of pressure being poor Solomon. I was just recently listening to, we watched the book, One Night with the King, and thinking about Cyrus being raised up as Hadassah as his mom. No pressure there. He's got a lot of other kings, a lot of other princes are going to be running for to be king, right? Can you imagine King David with all his wives? You think there's any pressure on those kids and those women to make sure that their son was going to be king? You better get straight A's. We got a lot riding on you, kid. You know, man. How about here? Solomon's going to inherit all this. What about his dreams? What about these things? Yahweh knew the desires of God. He gave it to him because he was seeking number one, the first thing. And what is that? The first. What is the we supposed to be seeking first? It's the first and great commandment. Where's Esther? Who knows the first and great commandment? Who can recite it? Deuteronomy 6:4-5.
Hear Israel, Yahweh the Elohim, Yahweh alone. Thou shalt therefore love Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
That is Matthew 6:33. Because if you're doing Deuteronomy 6:4-5, He has reign in your life. If you're being disobedient for whatever reason, He does not have any reign in your life, and there is no Deuteronomy 6:4-5. And the word love is ahab. It's not emotion, it's not affection. Affection and emotion can be in it, it's obedience. And this thing, and that's what David was able to do. And he gave him all of that. Think about that. David got all of that, and the Christ line is going to come through David. And when Christ comes back, who is more famous than David? And Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, will put his arm around David as he's watching David's movie in a huge theater about David's life, about not quitting his Hacksaw Ridge. And David's going, you know how close I was to quitting? Oh, man. Man, it was tough. We'll get to go hear speeches. King David giving his first-hand account of what it was like to go without food and water. What it was like to go through depressions, the ups and downs. And he was so close to quitting. And then here's his life. And in paradise, all of our lives, I believe, is going to be a book, a story that everybody's going to get to check out. What are they going to read about your life, my life? Is this where you quit because you became like Solomon, foreign wives? I'm a single guy. What's lacking in your life could be the idol you're chasing, or what do you want to get rid of? Could be. You're going back to seeking first His kingdom, then all these things will be added unto you. And Jesus Christ did that with Peter too. He did that with Peter in that Peter, at the beginning, I can relate a lot like him. Peter couldn't see the big picture. He could just see what he was. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, the obvious. But Yehoshua was more interested in his future. Yahweh could see. Think about this. We're talking about Satan, our adversary, and your old man, my old man, the flesh. those two guys, those two entities that are harassing us. They deceive us every day, and then after they deceive us, they accuse us. They go, what did you do? Why do we ever listen to that? What did you do? Look at you. Who do you think you are? And somehow, a month later, 6 months later, we listen to that voice again. Well, I didn't know it was them. Were you looking at the word?
Yeah.
Were you looking at the compass? Were you meditating on it? And no, I wasn't. It's okay, then get back up, get back up. But you can think about Yahweh seeing Jesus, Peter, when Peter was going to have to give up. And Yahweh getting to know what it was going to feel like for Peter to go to sleep that night after the man at the gate, beautiful, jump and ran. I've got to lead people in speaking in tongues. Peter would have saw this guy at the gate, beautiful, for a long time. How would you like to see somebody who's never walked in their life jump and sing songs about you? I mean God, y'all are so interested in that. Now we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 3. And so the purpose, what is my purpose today? 3-4 times a day, meditating. What is my purpose? It's to be obedient. This life is a glimpse. It's an audition. What kind of job do you want in paradise? What kind of rewards are there going to be? Where do you want to work? These other things, and meditating, and Yahweh, I do love you. And 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, man, that's the Christian mission statement. For the love of the Christ constrained us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and behalf of all died, that he, in order that those who live should not live for themselves, but for him who behalf of them died and awoke.
Amen.
Every day. Seek ye first. And the first kingdom, his reign, his dominion. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Would somebody read that for me?
I will. But I fear lest, by any means, as a serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ.
So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that Eve was completely deceived. Here's the Greek word. Other translations aren't going to say completely, but it is. She was completely deceived. And so all of us might have been completely deceived at some point in our life. Adam wasn't, though. What was the purpose of Adam and Eve's life in the garden? Matthew 6:33 is what it was. Where do I reign, Adam? Adam, where are you? Where are you? It was Adam's choice. Will you keep Yahweh number one, that relationship? And what did Adam do? His wife got deceived. And it says, that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Adam's heart started with Yahweh. And then later on, his heart was for his wife. And what would have happened if Adam would have kept Yahweh number one?
We wouldn't be here.
We don't know. Could Yahweh possibly fix Eve? Because I don't know. But Adam, because of somebody else putting Yahweh second and a person first. Remember, what's the first great commandment? Deuteronomy 6:4-5. What's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And sometimes what we're going to do is it's not going to seem like a big adjustment. I'm just going to start pursuing them a little bit more than Yahweh. And look what happened with Adam and Eve. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 21, page 178. And we'll look at the consequences. And so we get to pick on Adam, but all of us are tempted with disobedience. And because Adam didn't keep Yahweh number one, 15, verse 21, would somebody read that?
Hello. For since indeed through a man came death, through a man also cometh the raising of the dead.
And verse 22.
For just as in Adam all die, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive.
Okay, so here's the example. Because he put Eve before Yahweh, all die. Is Adam going to be there at the resurrection? I don't know, it didn't say. But if he is, man, like, tough break, dude. If he did turn around, you really blew it. He's like, hey, man. And I, like Dad did a teaching to you, he probably would have done it too. I'm not perfect. I blow it every day. But here's this guy. What did he do? It was just his wife. And here's Adam. Man, he put his wife first. And that's usually going to be what we're going to do. It's going to be relationships. But David didn't do that. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 12, page 154. 5, verse 12. It's another one of the consequences of Adam's sin. Isaiah, would you read that?
Yes. 5 verse 12?
Yes.
This cause, just as the one man sin unto the world entereth, and through sin death, and so unto all men death passed through, for all had sinned.
And so it goes back over the consequence of Adam doing that. And so all of us are going to have that with relationships, and I'm single, but I do have a son. I have other relationships with people I care about a lot. How should we actually keep our wives and our husbands? By keeping Yahweh number one. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what you're going through. He goes, if you give me reign and dominion in your life, I can work in your life. But if you don't give me authority to work in your life, I can't help you. I think about a police officer who thinks there's something going on inside the house, but he doesn't have permission to come in. He doesn't have jurisdiction. He doesn't have reasonable cause. Can I come in and help? No. Can't help you. But if we obey Yahweh, Yahweh's working in our life. And man, he is the masterpiece. He's the only one that knows the future. And that's how marriages are supposed to stick together. That's how relationships, children with their parents. Watching kids and their parents get along. Well, if they're both a hopping Yahweh and giving Yahweh dominion in their life, Yahweh's going to glue that together better than anything you could ever imagine. I think about that even with Abraham and Isaac. God, what kind of relationship did Isaac have with Yahweh at that point? Dad, tie my hands up. And here's Abraham. But then what kind of relationship did they have after that? Man, you can't outgive Yahweh. Mark 3:35, that's page 37. And we'll get to see this is going to be the second Adam. So the first Adam messed up. We got to read about his consequences. In verse 31, you get, with some, Elijah, would you read the notes right above verse 31?
31. Sorry, which chapter?
It's Mark 3. It's Mark chapter 3. And Jesus Christ, just give you a background story. He says, I only say what my Father wants me to say. I only do what my Father wants me to do. And guess what Yahweh wanted to do during Jesus Christ's ministry? Pick a lot of fights. They're going, don't you know you are really upsetting the Pharisees? Don't you know that Herod wants to see you? Don't you know? And then people are going, dude, this is not how you win friends and influence people. Do you think Jesus Christ knew what he was doing? Man. Are you sure? Are you sure about this? But here he goes. No, I got to do it. And at this point in his ministry, his mom, his brother, and his sisters think he's crazy. He's gone off the rails. And they're here to talk to him, to reason with him, because they think he's beside himself. Most translations are not going to explain that. Verse 31, I'll read it. Verse 31, and there come his mother and his brethren standing outside. They sent unto him, calling him. And they were sitting around him a multitude, and they said unto him, lo, thy mother and thy brethren outside are seeking thee. They need you over here. Come here. And answering them, he saith, who is my mother, my brother? And looking around with them, about him in a circle were sitting, he saith, see, my mother and my brethren, whosoever do the will of Yahweh, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Do you think that felt good? But whose life was on the line? His mother, his sister, and his brother. Their lives are dangling. They could have been completely deceived like Eve also. But he stayed the course. My purpose in this life is not to take care of these people. Although he's got a perfect heart. I'm not like Jesus Christ. He's perfect. Did you think that? How'd that feel for him to do that? In the balances. And here he was, just like the first Adam, now. I can't help them if Yahweh doesn't have dominion in my life. And he says this, and you're going to go, ouch. You can imagine, there goes Thanksgiving. No more Christmases together. So much for this. You can imagine what's going on. And he went through temptations. He had thoughts. God, that hurt. But who was there on the day of Pentecost? Good old mom, Mary. Miriam was speaking in tongues. How good was that? Jesus Christ didn't get to have kids. You think he liked kids? He picked them up in his arm. But he read the book. He's going to die. If anybody wanted kids, he's the perfect man. Seeing them, how would he like to see it? But he's never going to get to have them. But on the day of Pentecost, 120 people spoke in tongues. And then 3,000. And then in Acts 10, when the church was begun, thousands and thousands and thousands of children. Jesus Christ having his perfect kids, in my opinion. And how good did that feel? Yahweh knows the future. You ever bought something, got buyer's remorse? You're like, man, I'm really wasting my money on this. Right? Yahweh, I want you to buy this. I don't want to buy it. But we just trust our future with He who knows the future. Mark 3:35, we prepare ourselves, husbands and wives, to say how is this going to work out for another 40 years? You keep Yahweh number one. I keep Yahweh number one. What's going to keep us together is we're both going the same direction. You don't chase me. I don't chase you. Okay? And if you see me chasing you and compromising, snap me out of it and say, hey, Aaron, let's just say I was married. Aaron, you know we're not going to be married in paradise, right? You remember that. We're not going to be married. Our relationship will be better than our marriage, better than our honeymoon. But stay focused. This marriage, that where your treasures, there's your heart going to be. And Yahweh cares more about a marriage and more about a family than anybody could ever even imagine. And He knows how to stick things together. But if we keep Him first, then He's got authority in our lives. And you can imagine what happens when you got 5-6 believers in the same house doing the same thing. What does that do? How much territory, how much dominion does Yahweh have? When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking in tongues, you're reading Scripture, Esther's correct in Ruth, and Yahweh goes, I got all kinds of real estate around here. Yeah. Man, that's a good family. It might not always make sense, but it'll make a lot of faith. Let's see. So, go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. So, early on in my life, I'm single, so I don't have a wife, and obviously whatever is lacking in our life, we have a tendency to want to focus on it, to get it. And so Yahweh had me, He lectured me, and that's just not, in my case, it's a wife. But what are your desires? Apply the same principle. Everybody's got a big desire. You know what? And then our old man, we don't want to dream big with Yahweh for some reason. But when we go before Yahweh in the throne, you know, one thing I love about Santa Claus is the kids that don't hold back. I want this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And they're going to go, that is somebody who has expectations. Yeah. And they're going to go, I got one shot at this, to sit on Santa Claus' lap. If we have a good heart, Yahweh wants us to make ourselves vulnerable like that. And Santa Claus is nothing like Yahweh. But would you get anything if you don't ask anything from Santa Claus? Or if you're like the little kid on the Christmas store, you ask for a football. Okay, you're trying to be a little modest, trying to... He goes, what am I doing? Go to Yahweh. And if you're flat right now because you don't have a big desire, go to Him. Talk to Him about it. I need some motivation. I'm kind of stuck in a rut. I'm not real happy right now. I'm just kind of, go to Him. And usually what will happen is He goes, just you get started and start talking about what you want. He did that with me about talking about my house in paradise. And I was having a rough day. I looked at my house. And all of a sudden, I looked at the back of my house. I was so excited. I love my house. It's my castle. I worked hard for this. For you. For this. I'm looking at this. I can look at this thing as something. I got a physical achievement I can look at. I was having a rough day. The sun's setting. I'm looking at my house. And all of a sudden, I felt really good looking. I can imagine your property, too, going on a walk at night. And then, as I was sitting there meditating, it was communicated to Aaron. So this is like your big prize here in this life? I'm like, yeah. He goes, what's your house going to look like in paradise at the resurrection? I don't know. That where your heart is, your treasure will be, Aaron. that thing can get blown away. What's your treasure going to be like there? How often have you thought about your rewards today? How often have you thought about your hunting land? How often have you thought about your family getting together in paradise? Everybody, all the believers. How often have you thought about your libraries and teaching the Word? Not traditions, not having to fight the traditions of man. No, we're just going to look right at the Word. How often have you thought about those seminars? How often have you thought about drawing for Jesus Christ and Yahweh? Hunting. How often have we thought of that where your heart is your treasure will be? And as we start focusing on these things, what will happen? We'll get grounded. And we'll go back to our purpose. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Where I was going with all that is... Okay, would somebody read 18 through 21?
Mel?
All right. But thou do not appear unto men to be fasting, but unto thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret will reward thee. Be not laying up for yourself treasures upon the earth, which moth and where moth and rust and do tarnish, and where thieves dig through and steal.
Kind of a neat thing, we'll pause there for just a second. This is by the Paragraph Bible. Man, what a fine dad found. And the free PDF you can download off the www.teliosministries.com. You can have E.W. Bullinger, the Paragraph, and the Rotherham. And here's something that Rotherham doesn't have, E.W. Bullinger doesn't have. I've never seen anybody else have it, but here it is in the Paragraph. How nice to have these teachers. Think about this. The teacher who wrote this footnote one day is going to get to see how it affected my life. How neat is that? How many people's lives have been changed? They're going to hear about your teaching. The stories of Elijah Gunner shooting a deer when he's 6 years old. Yes, I have heard about you. Yeah. It all matters, man. But he says about the Paragraph Bible is going to talk about the moth and the clothing. It says, in Palestine and other Eastern countries where fashions rarely change, clothes were laid up in large quantities as treasures. Kind of think about that even now with the Muslims. And it's all brought, it's like...
Same thing.
Yes, yeah, so their treasures were piles of clothes. He goes, as treasures by wealthy men, hence their treasures were in danger of moths. Who would have known that? I'm just thinking about my wardrobe. I'm not thinking of somebody's 401k, their IRA, their life savings in piles of clothes. But I wouldn't have had that. Thanks, Dad, for finding it. And one day I'll get to meet that guy. But anyways, verse 20. But be laying up for your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth tarnish, and where thieves dig not through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will be thy heart also. And then you read about this. Old chapter 6 is, don't worry about this. Don't be worried about this. Don't be anxious for anything. You're going to go, yeah, this is starting to sound very unobtainable. No, you can do it. You can do it. He's showing you can do it. Don't be worried about your kids. Don't be worried about your grandkids. Don't worry about your son getting married. Don't be worried about whatever, all the rest of it. Here's all these things we care about. Oh, yeah. And then he goes, how do you get all those things? Zeto'o proton bas'iya Yahweh. Give Yahweh dominion in your life. As Solomon gave Yahweh dominion in his life, and he had the wisdom of Yahweh. And who was running that kingdom?
Yahweh
through Solomon. Who heaped up all these things? Now, Solomon missed the mark later on because he started focusing on the treasures. But each day, seek ye first the kingdom. Christ is coming back. We don't know when. Focus. You think about hunting. Is your big thing? Well, there won't be any death. We read that. Well, you know what? Focus on the best that you can imagine. You should be focusing on hunting in paradise. And then when you go, well, how's that going to work when there's no death in paradise? It's better than that. You need to, every one of us need to imagine, use our imagination. First, stop using your imagination to create doubt, unbelief, and to put you in a funk of self-pity where you're mediocre, stuck in a rut. My life really doesn't matter. I don't have a ministry. That's garbage. It's stinking thinking. Your life matters. Every one of your lives matters. You're a part of the body of Christ. Would the temple of the living God say, oh, it really don't even matter? How about if the Ark of the Covenant could talk? Would the cherubim say, we're all right? Are you kidding me? Who draws in between that? That's what all of us have. All of us have in the ministry. We have a life. It matters. Everything you do matters. And if people, you don't see people following you, John the Baptist didn't see, have a whole lot of people following before his ministry either. It does matter. But give him reign in your life. Give him dominion. And you know what he'll do? He'll give you all the rest of this stuff in the meantime. And then you can be an example for everybody else. They go, how did you get living on 5 acres, running your own business? How did you... You got this huge business. Now you got on the other side of town, Tim. How many clients do you have? And you got all this stuff. How did you get that? And you're like, man, how much time you got?
Yeah.
And then, boom, you start telling your testimony. Pow! And Christ is inside you with your testimony. He's just waiting for us. And when we do that, man, we can give him even more room in our life. Okay, well, I'll close the word. Thank you, Father, for your words. For all of us seeking first reign, your reign in our life. To meditate, to demand, to crave your dominion in our life. To put your dominion in our life as number one, chief principle, not one time a day, 6-7 times a day, checking in with you the same way a man who's pursuing a girl would ask her over and over again, what else can I do? I thank you for helping us reconcile. As we get that first thing first, everything else will be taken care of. You've given us examples, Father, about Adam missing it because he put his wife first. You've given us examples of how Samson missed it because he was pursuing a woman. We thank you. You've given us all kinds of examples. I just thank you for helping us get grounded to give you dominion in our life and let the Master work inside of our lives. Amen.